7. Do you not know, brethren? You know, you ought to look in the book of Romans and see how many times he says, do you not know? Because that is an issue. He was dealing with some people that didn't know. Over and over again, he's writing to these people and telling them some stuff. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Did you know that's why a dead man can't sin? Because he's not under the law anymore. The law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. Verse 2, for the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband. When there's a death, there's a law, the law doesn't function anymore. Verse 3, so then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Now let's just stop reading there for a minute. What does it mean that you've become dead to the law through the body of Christ?
Because Christ died, and he came that we would have eternal life, and that's why the church is forever married to him, is because he will not die again.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, or you're dead to the power of the law.
Well, let's. You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. How did you get in the body of Christ? I'm going back, but I'm asking a question. How did you get in the body of Christ?
By being baptized into the body.
Okay. So when you were baptized into the body of Christ, you became dead to the law. Now, Let's just read.
The law, what law?
That's the next question. That's the next question. Let's. You're dead to the law of sin.
Okay.
That's why it says that those that are in Christ, that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered us from the law of sin and death. But that's up in Romans 8, where that is. But it isn't. A lot of people think that those 10 words that God gave Moses went away with this, but it's not those 10 commandments or those 10 words that God gave Moses. That's not the law that it's talking about. That moral law is always a part of God's purpose. In fact, I want to go back and just say this to you. You have to go back in Deuteronomy and read it. But Moses said over and over again to Israel, he said, when you go in the land, do these things. And a couple of different times when he said, do these things, he quoted the Ten Commandments. In other words, the law of the kingdom has to do with not lying, not stealing, not committing adultery. It doesn't have nothing to do with your salvation. It has to do with how you live, the lifestyle that you live. It has to do with who your God is. Those things, the law don't save you. It's how you live.
That's right.
That's the whole issue.
And that's why it says the kingdom is righteousness. That's the first part.
The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not.
It also says in Matthew, it says, when you seek the kingdom and
his righteousness. That's right. So the mix up in the mind of the of a lot of the, a lot of folks is either one or two things, that I keep the law to be saved, or when Jesus came, that law was completely done away with, because they got a verse that's not translated very well that says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. The King James says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's talking about the Ten Commandments, but they think it meant they went away. But the word end there is a word that means the goal. The goal of the law, the purpose of the law, is Christ.
Right.
To bring forth Christ in our life. The law didn't go away. It's like in a football game. What's the goal? Get the ball across the line. That's the goal line. Christ is the goal. That's what the purpose of the law was, is to bring man to Christ. So when it says Christ is the end of the law, it should have better been translated the goal of the law. And you can look in that verse and see that the Strong says that it's a word that means goal. So when we understand verse 4, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law of sin through the body of Christ, so that you may be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, and this for me, this says it pretty plainly. Our being born again is not about going to heaven. It's about bringing forth fruit to God here in the earth. What do you say? Well, it doesn't say in the earth. No, it doesn't. But I think that's, you can find that. You also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, or in covenant relation. Marriage is a covenant. That you be in covenant relationship to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, could I replace that with in Adam? In the flesh is in Adam, in the spirit is in Christ. So when we were in the flesh, let me have your eyes a minute. You are no longer, if you're born again, you're no longer in the flesh, you're in the spirit. You say, did I get out of my body? He's not talking about your body. He's talking about the nature that you live from. When you were born again, you're in the spirit. You're in Christ. That's what God, I've shared with you what God said. My people don't know who they are. They don't know what they possess, and they don't know what they can do in Christ, or I could say in the spirit. So when you were in the flesh, when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. I believe this. If we could get it in our minds that we are no longer in the flesh, no longer in Adam, but rather in the spirit. Because when somebody, Paul says, don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit. Don't walk in Adam, don't live in Adam, live in Christ. And since I'm born again, I can do that. But I think the problem is we mostly don't know how. Nobody taught me. Nobody showed me how. I can remember 40 some odd years ago, the guy that was my pastor talking to me about how he heard the voice of God. And I said, well, how you do that? He said, well, I can't tell you. You'll just have to learn. I thought, wonderful. Wonderful. He said he could do that, but he couldn't tell me how. Couldn't show me how. That's a big problem in the church, that people do stuff, learn how to do it, but then don't know how to impart that, or won't.
That's where fathering comes in.
Yeah. Yes.
Could it be that, question, could it be that a lot of the people don't truly, no, let me say it like this. It creates a certain fear, or I don't know if fear is a good word, but being able to operate, the difference between operating in the flesh and operating in the spirit. A lot of people don't understand that. They fear it, And so they look for ways to opt out of it.
Well, sure, if you don't know. Everybody's afraid of what they don't know anything about. You know, we all are subject to that. But what I'm saying is nobody trained us or taught us that when it said in the flesh, it meant who I was in Adam. It's not just, these bodies that God gave us are not evil. The Bible says when he looked at in the last sixth day, he looked at everything he created, said everything he created was evil, and that included the human body. The human body itself is not evil. It's used for evil things. But in it was not created evil. It was good.
Very good.
That's exactly right. And so when he's talking about being in the flesh, he's talking about who we are in Adam. When he says in the spirit, he's talking about who we are in Christ. Does that make any sense to you?
Old nature, new nature.
That's right.
So can we...
Old man, new man.
So can we move from being in Adam to in Christ? Because people sin, right?
Sure.
And so scripture says that once you've been born of Christ, we don't sin, or something like that. It says they that's been born of God said it not, or something. But don't sin, or somewhere it says don't sin. Then it says sin into it. I know that's a difference, but it does indicate that if you are in Christ, you don't do this, you know. So my question, point here is, I don't want to get ahead, but I think further down, Paul has a wrestling match, and he says something about...
Yeah, he does in chapter 7. The thing I do, the thing I don't want to do, I do, and the thing I don't want to I do, I don't do.
Did he go from... Maybe I'm getting ahead of you. Maybe I should slow down. You probably going to bring it up.
Well...
I'm wondering, how did he do that? How did he... Is he saying, sometime I'm in Adam, sometime I'm in Christ?
No. He's not saying that, but sometimes we operate like that. I don't think I ever leave being in Christ, but sometimes I allow the only way I know how to say it is, I'm not a sinner anymore, but I didn't forget how.
You just don't practice it.
That's right. And that's a good thought. We don't practice, but sometimes we miss the mark. Jesus Christ is the target. The word sin, as it's used in the New Testament, means to miss the mark. I'm not fulfilling all that he called me to do and be. So.
Could it be that we tend to lump together being saved, and it's the spirit man that gets born again.
Yep.
It's not the carnal man that gets born again. The Romans 12, we get over there, it tells us that we have to allow the transformation that's taking place in our spirit to take place in our carnal nature. That's what Romans 12 talked about.
Yeah. Well, I don't think God's transforming the carnal nature. I think he's, because that, he didn't regenerate or fix Adam. He gave us a new man, a new nature, and we're learning how to live out of it. I still... because of my habits, my past, I'm still able to do that. That's what I'm saying. I didn't forget how to sin. None of us did. Yes, sir.
I just want to read this in Romans 7:20. This is what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it then. But it's sin that dwelleth in me. So Paul is saying,
yeah,
if I sin, it's really not me that's sinning. Now, I think that goes along with what she said.
That's
it's not the spiritual man that's doing it.
That's right.
It's the carnal man that's doing it. It's the flesh that's doing it. So he separated himself from the flesh. In other words, he was saying, it's not me that's doing it because I'm not the flesh anymore.
That's right. I'm in the spirit.
So... And it sounds like he's saying, like, this spirit man don't sin.
That's exactly right.
Pleases God. But this flesh man, he'll mess up.
That's right.
But I'm not that man.
That's right.
That's the old man. So that's no longer me. I'm not that fellow So it's almost like you're saying that guy sinned, but it wasn't me that did it. You know, it seems like he separated himself
well
from the old nature, the old man. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, so, but my question is, it seems like it's one man saying he's two men in one sense, but he separates that because we are spirit beings, right?
Yes.
We live in the body, but we are spirit beings, so we are a new creature. I mean, the Holy Spirit came into our spirit, and we are spirit beings. So as spirit beings, we don't sin. Now, I'm still kind of waiting on you to say something. I got a little point here. I want to see if that's right, but I'm wondering, how can he say that? Now, I don't understand fully how Paul could say, that wasn't me, that was him.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's read through this and get. I think he gets to it. We just read here and think about it. Verse 5, when we were in the flesh, the passions of sin, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. When we were in the flesh, he said, the passions, the motions of sin, which were roused by the law, were at work in our members to bear. And when he says our members, he's talking about the body. The body's not evil, but the body's where sin dwells, what it says. The law of sin is in our members. It says that in here in chapter 7 a little later on. But now, it says in verse 6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we've died to what were we held by before? We were held by the law of sin and death. But I've died to that. Because what I read up here was, he that's died is dead to the law. That's what we have to understand. When he talks about the law here, he explains it a little further in chapter 8. There's two laws, the law of sin and death and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And so he says, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. I died because I was baptized into the body of Christ. Having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Now here he's talking, I think he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Isn't the Ten Commandments also the law of sin and death?
I don't think so.
It says I would not have known sin.
I don't think so. Because the precept of sin and death came in when Adam did, you know, at the fall. The law was not given till Moses. And he says in 5 that, how is it? It says that sin is not imputed when there is no law. So, no, I don't think that the Ten Commandments are the law of sin and death. I can be wrong, but I don't think so.
Well, he said, I had not known sin except the law came.
Yeah. Well, but he...
Okay.
I don't know. I understand. And there, that's what I said, that he was talking about the Ten Commandments there. He's not talking about the law of sin and death.
Because last week you said that before the Ten Commandments, people didn't know law.
That's right.
There was no law. They couldn't be held accountable.
Well, that's what Romans 5 says. When there is no law, sin is not imputed. The law didn't come in till Moses.
Yeah.
Ma'am?
He's making a reference to that again?
I think so. Sometimes when you read the thing and it says law, I think you have to look at more than just the Ten Commandments.
Why would we be using two different laws if there's two different laws interchangeably from one scripture to the...
Well...
Yeah, that's confusing.
That is very...
It is. Well, go to Romans 8.
That's the solution. Romans 8 is him solving the problem.
Yes.
And the Ten Commandments is not the issue. It's the type of man that's responding to the Ten Commandments. Either it's a carnal man or a spiritual man.
Yep.
The carnal man could not keep the law or the Ten Commandments because he was trying to handle it in the flesh. But the man of the spirit can, so it is fulfilled in Christ that way. Because you cannot tell me that the Ten Commandments is evil or bad when it says don't kill, don't steal. That's a good moral law. We're not supposed to do that as Christians. But the man who was in the flesh probably couldn't keep that.
No.
The man of the spirit can. So the problem, even a present day, which is what Romans 8 is going to teach us, is that there's got to be better teaching about the power in the teaching and the counseling of the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit.
Yep. Exactly so. Look at Romans 8:2. He makes mention of two laws here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Yep.
The law of sin and death came in at the fall, but sin was not imputed until the law God gave Moses.
The law exposed it, showed it.
Yes.
Sin.
Right. Mm-hmm. That law.
All right. Is the law righteous?
The law, the Ten Commandments?
The law is good.
Okay. But look at verse 3.
Of what chapter?
8.
What the law could not do in that it was weak. One translation says it this way, it was weakened through the flesh.
Okay. And God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
That's right.
So he's proving that the law is not being.
Well, is the law of sin and death righteous?
The Ten Commandments are not the law of sin and death. That's why we have to recognize that when he says law, sometimes he's not always talking about the same thing. The only way you can, I think, figure it out is look at what he's saying and see that it's what it is. It's I cannot. Well, at least in one place he says, "Is the law?" Verse 13 in 7. Has that what is good become death to me? Certainly not. No, let's read 11, 12, and 13. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. He very clearly is saying that the law is good. The Ten Commandments are good. But the law of sin and death that came in when Adam transgressed is not good. And it's only the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us free from the law of sin and death.
And why does it say in verse 12 that the law is holy and the commandment holy? He's talking about two different things.
He's talking about the Ten Commandments there when he says that.
He says commandment.
No, he says when he says the law is holy and the commandment holy, they're the same thing.
Can I read another translation? It says, verse 11, it says, sin took advantage of those commands and deceived me. It used the commands to kill me. Verse 12. But still, the law itself is holy,
yes.
And it commands are holy and right and good.
Mm-hmm.
13. But how can that be? Did the law, which is good, cause my death? Of course not. Sin used what was good to bring about a condemnation to death.
That's good. What is that translation?
It's a New Living Translation.
Okay. There's three laws. There's the law of sin and death. There's the law of the spirit of life. And let's change the word. Let's use precept. The precept, sin and death. The precept of spirit and life. And then in the middle here, the law, which is the Ten Commandments, the law of God. There, you're talking about, he's using one word, law, but he's talking about three different things, it appears to me. The law of sin and death is what come in at, in the garden. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what came with Christ. And the Ten Commandments is what came in with Moses. Three different things.
When did the law of sin and death come in?
In the garden, Eden, when Adam sinned. He died.
Yeah, because death reigned from Adam.
That's what it says. But sin was not imputed till the law of Moses came.
Right.
And then when Jesus came, there were the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus went into effect.
And the purpose of the law is only to identify what sin is. And that came from God, and that's why it's good, because it came from God. Okay.
That's why sin was not imputed until Moses, is because even though sin and death ruled from Adam, nobody understood what sin was.
That's exactly right.
So the law pointed to the sin. Because, I mean, the sin was there, but no one was aware of the sin. The law pointed out that it was sin.
Well, imputed means...
The law said, I had not known sin except the commandment.
That's right.
Yes.
And then it
right.
slew me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we clear?
We're right on the...
Well, these things need to be talked about because, you know, people preach this stuff and they preach it and people hear it and they don't ever get a chance to ask a question, and so they go away not knowing. I mean, I understand. I struggled with Romans for years, attempting to understand what was there, because I knew that some of what I was taught was crazy. It just didn't fit. And this is the first time I've ever really sat down with a group of people and talked this stuff out. I've just, you know, read it and studied it and got what I got from it. But it's good to talk about it. I appreciate my brother reading that other translation there, because that, as far as I'm concerned, really clarifies it. Okay. Let's read verse, we missed a few. Let's go back to verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. And when he's talking about the law there, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. Apart from the law, sin was dead.
And anything that's dead has no power.
That's right. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Just like God told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, or the day that you disobey, you will die. Now, when he said I died, he didn't die graveyard dead. He just died spiritually, so to speak. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And I think it's in Galatians, or is it in Corinthians, where he says that the strength of sin is the law? Says that in Galatians, I believe, that the strength of sin is the law. The sin uses the word of God, the law, to kill us. That which is good, he uses to kill us.
I think that what you said about Adam, though, answers the question that he had about people that are even struggling, that Paul had about sin and that kind of thing. When Adam sinned, and the Lord said that he would have to come to death, but it's until the fifth chapter that he brings forth.